This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Houston, we do not have a problem.
Sarah Webb, Joy Drive's astrophysicist.
Sarah Webb, welcome back to Joy Drive.
Thank you for having me.
It is always our pleasure. Now, there is something that is near and dear to your heart, and I want to unpack it this afternoon because it's very cool conceptually.
It is.
There be a planet X, so, you know, an unknown, unnamed planet, hiding in our solar system?
Quite possibly, yes.
What?
And it's a little bit of a controversial topic, and I think it's one that's fascinating. So there's this idea that there might be other planets out in the outskirts of our solar system that we just haven't seen. And people have kind of thought this for hundreds of years, even before we discovered all of the big planets that we know of today. But what is really convincing is that when some Caltech astronomers model the way our solar system moves and all of the different big, large bodies that we have in our solar system, it doesn't make sense. Like, the computer literally says no, and to make it make sense, we have to stick something that weighs about 10 times the size of the Earth, 20 times further away than Neptune, so right out there in the dark, which I just think is fascinating.
Okay, so because physically we can't get further enough out to see what could potentially be out there.
Yeah, so it's because this is all just mathematical modeling. It could be that maybe we haven't found some other planets, some small dwarf planets, just like Pluto, that live on the other side. It's all about like kind of balancing gravity.
Right.
And the idea is that, well, if it's out there, we should be able to see it. But then when you start doing the math for how bright might something like that be, because it wouldn't reflect very much sunlight, it's so, so far away, it's very hard for us to conceive just how faint it is out there. And when you do all of that math, it's all like a whole math game, this thing. But it turns out it would be so difficult to spot, and there's only a couple of nights a year where it would, in theory, be visible. And so far, they've looked, I have friends who have personally worked on looking for this thing, and so far, nothing. Unfortunately.
I went and saw the new Ant-Man yesterday.
I'm so jealous. And I cannot wait to see it.
Well, I thought of you as I was watching the film, because there's like, you know, a metaverse and a multiverse,
and
all of these different verses, and then, you know, they go into, I don't even know that, well, are there technical terms? Because they don't really exist, do they? Is it possible?
I mean, kind of, in theory. So I love the idea of a multiverse, is that we're just one universe expression. We're all made up of physics, and that's kind of what we are. But we have laws in our universe. So certain physical constants, like the speed of light, is one of them. And the idea is that there could, in theory, be billions, trillions, an infinite amount of other universes that are just slightly different, which blows my mind.
But is that possible in real life, our astrophysics, our maths, our science?
Yes, I'd say yes. Well, because we only understand our universe, and we can't see the edge of our universe. We don't know what we're in or if we're just it, which, I know, it hurts my brain so much trying to think about it.
And yet you study it for a living.
Exactly. My brain hurts constantly. But no, it's fascinating, right? Because there's no rules to say that we have to be the only universe. And, you know, physics is just numbers. So I like to think that it's a possibility. Whether we could ever understand it, likely not. But we'll see.
We're chatting to Joy Drive's astrophysicist Sarah Webb from Swinburne University about space news. What's been happening in space? Speaking of, Sarah, what happens when two dead stars collide?
It sounds like the beginning of a joke.
Yeah.
It does. Well, the answer is that they form a perfect sphere, which just is, it's not a good punchline, but it is good physics. So what we see, so we've seen this one crazy type of event. It's called a kilonova, and this is when we get two massive neutron stars. So for anyone who doesn't know, a neutron star is incredibly, incredibly dense. So they're about the width of Melbourne, but they weigh the mass of the sun.
Whoa.
Like, they are obscenely dense. They're incredible. And when we get two of them that merge together, they create some of the big, like one of the most energetic, biggest explosions we see in the universe. And it's where a lot of our heavy metals come from. So things like platinum and gold and things like that, that we use every day, comes from these dying stars. It's the way it's called. It's something called nuclear synthesis. So it's our process synthesis. And it's basically the non-official physical term is things are just so hot and so dense that atoms can fuse together and create bigger atoms.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Which could never happen in our sun. Our sun's just not, it's not chaotic enough to do that, which is just amazing. So a lot of the stuff that we have on our planet is from dead stars, which is just gnarly to think about. But we're still trying to understand how these collisions kind of evolve over time, because we've only ever seen one in modern science. And new simulations suggest that they form a perfect sphere, and it's because of the shock waves that it releases, which is just, it's very cool to think about.
Wow, that's so cool. Speaking of cool stuff, I have no idea what a solar flare is, but I assume it's cool.
It's cool.
And our sun has just had one?
She's going through it, our poor sun. So solar flares are what happens. So our sun, all stars have big magnetic fields. And with magnetic fields, you can get them, the field lines. So you can imagine drawing like circles around the sun with magnetic field lines. Mm-hmm. They can interact with each other. And when that happens, it can break the magnetic field line and we get energetic particles and plasma spewing out into the surrounds. And it's quite common on our star. They're normally pretty tiny, not too crazy. But we did just see quite a large one happen. And it was so big that the ionized particles, so these high energy particles, interacted in our upper atmosphere and meant that a heap of different short range radio over the United States was wiped out for a certain amount of time.
Whoa.
It's back online, which is great, but they're interesting because they have the possibility of really wreaking havoc on our modern technology.
That's so wild.
It is wild, and it's kind of not scary. We don't want to be afraid, but we do need to be educated in what could happen. And it's this idea that we're now sending technology up above our atmosphere. We have all of these different satellites. If you're listening to digital radio right now, probably using some form of satellite, and they're quite susceptible to these type of flares, which is pretty amazing. And it's always, you know, interesting when we see a bigger one happen, just to see what has happened and how do we prepare in the future.
As you're speaking about this, Sarah, I'm thinking to myself, and this is how different you and I are. I'm thinking to myself, this reminds me of how I used to draw a sun, like in my notebook, like with the little, the little wavy things around it. That's like essentially a solar flare.
Totally. Yeah.
So cool.
You can imagine that like one of the little wavy things is now traveling towards the Earth.
Yeah.
Which happens, and our sun is pretty, pretty chill. She has some solar flares, but they're not crazy energetic. From some of my past work, I've found solar flares on other stars that are 10 million times more powerful.
Whoa. So
you can just imagine you would not want to be living around those stars.
So, but those ones that you've investigated, they're too far away from Earth to actually have any, you know, interference.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we can see the remnants of the light that comes here, but it's not harmful to us at all. It's just, you know, we see a little bit more light, a little bit more radio waves, but the
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.